Micah chapter 4. I started dealing with this last Sunday morning, and I want to try and deal with this thought. Dear Christian, please leave the church. And I want to say again, I'm not talking about leaving the church because you're angry or upset, but I believe this verse will kind of tell us where I'm heading. Look in verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of God, of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is talking primarily about what we would call the millennium, and how the Lord is calling his people, but more than that, the people are saying, let's go see God. Let's go meet with him. And that's exactly what we do as far as our church is concerned. I have mentioned that he would say, please love. They say, come on, let's go. There's a love in their heart for where they're going. We ought to love the church. And then I believe God says in this verse, not only please love, but please listen. Talks about the Lord speaking, says he will teach us his ways. Then I believe he also says, please labor. It says that we will walk in his ways. He says, I want you to do something. But then I believe he also says, please learn. He will teach us of his ways. But then I believe he also says, please leave. It says, the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He says, not only I want you to come, but I want you to go. He says to us this morning, I want you to come here, but then I want you to leave. I want you to go out into the world and live for me. God in this day works in the church. That's why I'm a church preacher. The Bible is a church Bible. God is a church God. And he works in the church in a way where he probably will not work outside. That's why it's so important that we come to church. But God does not just work in the church. He works through the church to the world. And as we go out again today, we're going out there to serve him and to live for him. And I said last week, out there as we leave the church, some things are important. Our prayer is important. We come here and pray. I believe we ought to. Think it would be wrong not to. But our prayer out there is so vitally important. And how we call on the Lord daily, regularly. The Bible talks about an hour of prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, even though it sent him to the den of lions. We ought to pray out there for lost people, for God's will, for our country, for our leaders. Vitally important. It is our ministry to pray. Something else is important, not only our prayer, but our personality. How we act, our attitude is so important. If we say we are a Christian, we ought to act like we are a Christian. I was thinking this morning about over at Wood Armfield, there was a fellow that came in that drove a truck, and every time he came in, you didn't have to wonder who it was. You could hear him all through the warehouse, just laughing and talking and praising the Lord. And I often have thought about him and how his attitude was so contagious. And when he would leave, you'd find out you're in a better mood. Well, I'm not saying you have to be outgoing like that and the life of the party like he probably was in a good way. But our attitude is so important. how people view us. It's amazing. But grouchy people don't even like grouchy people. And so many times the ones who are truly saved are the ones that are most disagreeable and most irritable and most touchy. And it's so strange that we talk about the love of God and the joy of the Spirit, but we don't demonstrate it so often with our attitude. A Christian should be good-natured and likable and friendly and polite and well-mannered and respectful. It is a part of our testimony. It is telling people that what we say we are, we really are. I'm talking about not in the church. Now, I hope you behave here, and I hope you're happy here, and I hope you smile here, and I hope you're respectful here and kind and all that. But out there, it's so important that our lives show that our personality is what God said it should be. Our personality, our attitude is so important. But then I want to say also, not only is our prayer out there important and our personality out there important, but our purity, how we live, what we will do and won't do. That's why the Lord said, they are not of the world, speaking of his disciples. He says, this bunch here, they're not like the world. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. A Christian is to be different in purity. We should not live like the world. We should not act like the world. We should not talk like the world. We should not dress like the world. We should not be like the world, because we're supposed to be of God. And it does matter out there, not just in here. Our appearance deals with our purity. In 1 Timothy 2:9, the Bible says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, ladies, don't get upset, because, listen, it's not just you who should dress right. We men should dress right. We should not dress like the world. We should not look like the world. Our appearance should be godly. 1 Peter 3:4 says, let it be a hidden man of the heart, in the which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. He says, God considers this something wonderful. Not that someone adorns himself and someone is beautiful and attractive, even though that's not really so bad in the right way. But he says a meek and a quiet spirit. In other words, the purity of a heart. He says, if you want your beauty to show, let it be seen in your heart, not just what you look like. That's men and women also. Listen to this, what the Bible says. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. He said, like a gold ring in a pig's nose is a woman that doesn't have perception. I tell you one thing, I see some of them. Take a trip to Walmart in Thomasville. You'll think, how in the world do you not have any mirrors at your house at all? Well, I mean, good gracious, take a live in the morning time. And it's not just women, it's men. I'm telling you, this world is in trouble. And I feel for those who are buying clothes for little children, because even the little ones, the preteens, the clothes are so suggestive now. And I'm telling you, we are in trouble, and we as Christians should not adapt to that. We should not apply ourselves to that. It says there, the woman without discretion means that they have no proper taste. Our wardrobe should not be like the world's wardrobe. Our appearance is so important. Now, I'm not saying you got to wear dresses down to your ankles, long sleeves and bonnets and all that stuff. And I'm not saying men have to wear three-piece suits all the time. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, if it's worldly attire, we ought to know it and we ought to avoid it, because we matter out there. And what the world thinks about us, not just in here, but out there, really should matter. Please leave the church And when you leave the church, make sure you go out in a pure way. Our appearance deals with our purity, but our actions deals with our purity. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22, prove all things. He said, take a good look at it. He said, examine that thing good, well, right, thoroughly. And you discern by the Spirit of God if that is right or wrong, proper or improper. You don't just say, well, everybody else does and don't think about it. You don't just say, well, it's comfortable, it feels right, I enjoy it and don't think about it. He said, prove these things, examine them thoroughly. And he continues by saying this, hold fast to that which is good. That is good and right and godly, he said, you hold on to that. And by the way, implied is let go of the things that aren't good. If it's something that is not pure and is not godly, we should not let it be a part of our lives. In fact, that's exactly what he says in the next verse. Abstain from all the appearance of evil. That means if it even looks bad, if there's even a possibility that it has a negative effect on my testimony, I won't do it. That's how careful we should be. That's how serious we ought to be about this situation of us going out into that world and being an example of a Christian and an example of a church member. We need to make sure that our purity is what it should be, which implies our appearance and our actions. Ephesians 2:2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. He said, you used to walk that way. And by the way, the rest of that verse talks about being led or controlled by the prince or the power of the air. He said a person who is adapted to the course of this world is being led more than just by fashion or the trend of the day. They are being led by the devil and his influence. And he says to abstain from that kind of thing, to stay away from that thing. He said in times past, you walk that way, which suggests you shouldn't be doing it now. We did when we were lost, but we shouldn't now that we aren't lost. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. He said, some of you used to be this way, but you surely aren't now because you're saved. You're right with God, and you don't do what you used to do because you aren't what you used to be. Oh, how important it is for us to live right in this world. Out there. I know we're on good behavior in here, and I'm glad you are. I don't want you misbehaving in here, but we shouldn't misbehave out there either. Our purity is so important because people are watching us, and they're gauging our God by our lives, and they're gauging our church by our lives. It really does matter. We should be different. We should be clean. There's some things we just should not ever be even tempted to do. There's some things we need to say no to. Daniel, they're discussing about how to trap Daniel. How in the world can we trip this fella up? How in the world can we deal with this man who's causing so much trouble? And here's what it says in Daniel 6:5. This is my part. There ain't no way in the world we can handle this man. Here's what the verse says. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, you look at Daniel, he ain't getting drunk. We can't say that. He's not running around with women. You can't say that. He's not a liar. He's not dishonest. He has nothing in his life that we can point to bring up charges against him. If we're going to get him, we're going to have to do this. Get him against the things he does for his God. And that's what they did, that he prayed 3 times a day when they said, don't bow before anything but the image and the Pharaoh, the God, their God. I wonder how many of us that would be set up. Not many, maybe not any. As an employee or an employer, you ought to be different. They ought to know you're different where you work. Not that you're weird. Not that you're some strange person. I'm not talking about being peculiar and weird and outlandish, overbearing. I'm not talking about being so super aggressive that you're annoying. I'm just talking about living right, being right, having a pure heart, a pure life, to where they know they're at work, that person's different. There's something different about them. Our neighbors ought to know that there's something different about people at that house. The people at our grocery store where we go often ought to know there's something different about that person. And again, we need to realize the importance. Now, they may talk about you. In fact, they probably will. But if you don't live right, they're going to talk about you more. Because they're going to say, that person's a Christian? I don't think so. And I guarantee you one thing. You let them have some trouble. You let their loved one have a wreck. You let them have a heart attack. Guess who they'll come to and ask you to pray for them? It'll be you, who's living right and serving right, not the hypocrite who claims to be a Christian and never acts like it. They ain't going to come to that person asking to pray, but that person who everybody says is a little bit off, a little bit weird, that's the person they'll run to. I'm talking about the importance of leaving the church. Our ministry is out there. I don't guess I can say that. I start to say we all want a ministry inside the church. That ain't true. But a lot of people want a ministry inside the church. Well, our ministry for the Lord, mostly for all of us, is outside the church. That means our prayer is important and our personality is important and our purity is important. But then I thought about this. Our testimony out there as far as our pain. We're living in a day of hurting. We're living in a day where people are suffering. There's empty pews here this morning because there's people at home hurting, sick. Some are out of town, surely, and that's okay. But some of them would love to be here this morning. First time Lindsay's been able to be here in months. I'm so glad to see her. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's some hurting going on outside of these walls. And you can be and will be one of the ones that is hurting. And how we handle our pain before the world is so important. How we handle our problems before the world is so important. We are Christians, if you're saved. We have the power of God in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the joy and peace and power and the influence of the Holy Spirit living in us. And when we face pain and we endure problems, the world needs to know there's something different about them. How in the world do they go through what they're going through and not come apart? One of the most amazing things I've seen in my Christian life is people even here get up and say, God's so good to me. Oh, I thank God for His grace. And you know their heart is breaking because of hurt and pain. And you know they're going through horrible circumstances. And yet they say, oh, God's been so good to me. That's the kind of testimony I'm talking about. How we endure our pain is so important. Book of Job says this, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I guarantee you that's true. We're in a world full of trouble. We Christians are not exempt. We are not exempt from anything a lost person could go through. In fact, sometimes I think we go through worse than what a lost person does because God's trying to do something in us. And that's exactly what the psalmist saw. He said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He says it's a good thing that I was hurting because I learned more about your word and your will and your power and your presence. It was a good thing talking about our pain. 1 Peter 2:21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He suffered faithfully. He suffered agony. He suffered horribly. And he did it righteously. He did it patiently. He did it spiritually. He endured the affliction faithfully. And that verse says, that was our example, which means that we should do the same thing. And that isn't easy. When you're going through pain, when you're hurting, and you're going through problems, it isn't easy to remain positive. But how we react and how we act and how we handle our problems, I believe, tells us more about our spiritual condition than anything else we could grade. How we handle our problems. I encourage us not to be a constant complainer. That is not to say you can't tell somebody a burden. That is not to say you can't share a prayer request or a need. That is not to say we cannot ever be brokenhearted where we just unload on a good friend. But I'm saying if we are constantly complaining and never see the good, we are giving a bad testimony. We need to be careful that we're not overly critical. Critical against everything and everybody. I said this, I think last week, I'll say it again. A lot of times at a workplace, the boss is the one that gets all the blunt of the bad comments and the bad attitude and the critical spirit. And if everybody else in your workplace is critical about that boss man, you shouldn't be. They may be the dumbest person ever breathed air, but you should not be critical toward them because you're different. You're a child of God. I'm talking about our pain, our problems, how we endure our problems. You may have the worst boss man or boss lady in the world. But you may have some of the worst employees in the world. But we need to handle it spiritually. Talk about our pain, our problems, how we face, how we endure what we're going through. It isn't easy. Because, listen, our pain may be because of self. 1 Chronicles 10:13 says, Saul died for his transgression. In other words, he got what was coming to him. He endured what he faced because it was his own fault. And one of the things that is most difficult to face is sometimes what I'm facing is my own fault. Because I did something dumb or I didn't do something smart. And now I'm facing the consequences. What I'm going through is my fault. I am hurting because I'm so dumb. And Job 4:8 says, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And the only hope, if what we're facing is our fault, the only hope is to confess it and to change. Only hope. And that may not do away with all the circumstances. David's, that sword never departed from his life because of what he had done. But our pain sometimes that we're enduring and the problems we're faced with are because of self. It was our own fault because of what we did or didn't do. Sometimes our pain may be because of self, but it also may be because of sickness. And I'll tell you, this is a tough one. It's a tough one. Because when you're sick and you don't feel good, and our physical man is so attached to the spiritual man, and when our body's worn out or our body's hurting or our body's broken down, it is so hard to have a good attitude. But we must, as much as possible, I guess I can say that, endure, I'm talking about our pain. Enduring our pain patiently and faithfully and spiritually. It is tough. Mark 5:26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And I think, I know some people like that. Their sickness just seems to be ongoing. Their pain does not let up. The affliction does not improve. They go to doctors and the doctors can't help them. We pray and it seems like things don't get better much. So how in the world can you tell that kind of person, I want you to be happy. I want you to smile. Well, I'm not really, but I'm seeing a good attitude. How we endure our problems and our pain tells this world more about us than anything else, and tells them more about our God than anything else. We need to endure faithfully the things we go through. It may be because of sickness. You're sick, you're weary, you're worn out, and it's hard. I know it. Trust God. It may not be you that's sick. It may be somebody you care about. Tell you one thing, these people that's caring for people, Carol, Libby, Karen, Tom, all through this church, we have people who have sick loved ones, Brother Danny, so many, and some are right there confined to helping them. I tell you, that's a tough position to be in. It's difficult, but even that person, and maybe especially that person, needs to say, Lord, I want to handle this rightly. I want to handle this spiritually. I may not be at the top of the world emotionally, but I want you to give me grace. I want you to give me grace to where I'll handle it rightly and patiently and spiritually. I want my testimony to ring true. I won't tell you who, but one of the people that I contact quite regularly that is under a tremendous load right now because of a sick loved one is so positive. I call and I hang up and I say, that is amazing. And I do not believe that it's because that person has a strong stamina or is a strong person or a strong disposition. I honestly believe that the Lord's answering prayer and helping that person who's taking care of somebody who is hurting and also hurting with them, and God's grace is being shown to be sufficient. And that's what I'm saying. People watch that. People see that. It may be the most difficult thing you ever do in your life, but it's important. Our pain, our hurt, it may be because of self. I did something dumb and I'm paying for it. It may be because of sickness I'm hurting or somebody I care for is hurting. Our pain may be because of someone. I'm talking about how we handle what we're going through. I'm talking about outside of this church. That's where our real ministry is. Out there. That's where we serve God. That's where our testimony is most important. That's where we're being watched. That's where our Christian life is on display more than anything else. Our pain, how we handle our pain. It may be because of self, maybe because of sickness, maybe because of someone. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. He said, listen to me. The Lord is asking his disciples to go out into the world that hates them and still live godly before them. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. They will devour you if you don't trust me. They will devour you if you don't find some help from somewhere else. And that help is in me, says the Lord. But he says, those people out there in the world, they don't love you. They don't even like you. They would love to see you go down. They would love to see you trip up. They would love it if you mar your testimony. They would love something to talk about. He says, I send you as sheep among wolves. You have no hope unless you trust me. 2 Corinthians 11:24-25. Listen to just some of Paul's testimony of what people did to him. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, say one, 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. And Paul handled it spiritually and rightly. He did not strike back. He did not raise a ruckus. He handled it spiritually. I'm talking about our pain, maybe because of someone. Someone's doing us wrong. Someone's mistreating us. Someone misunderstands us. Someone neglects us. Here's what the Bible says. Joseph said to his brothers who had done him terribly, sold him. Ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. David said, there's some people who have done me wrong. And I'll tell you one thing, if it takes my last dying breath, I'm going to get even with them. Oh, no, no. Listen to what he says. They rewarded me evil for good. I did them good. They rewarded me with evil. The same thought a couple of verses later. But in my adversity, they rejoiced. When they saw me hurting, it thrilled them. I'm telling you, with friends like this, you don't need any enemies. And then notice what David, how he reacted in verse 13, Psalm 35. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. They mistreated me. They abused me. They hurt me. They wronged me. And they laughed when I was hurting. But when they were hurting, it broke my heart. And I put sackcloth on. And I begged God to help them. Then in verse 14 of that same psalm, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. It wasn't just some outward sign of David praying. It was his heart being broken about somebody who was hurting, who had hurt him terribly. That is a good testimony. People's going to wrong you. People's going to do wrong. People's going to hurt you. People's going to disappoint you. But how you face that, how you react to that, tells this world how godly you are and how much God can help you and them if they'll trust Him. It matters. I say to every Christian here, please leave the church today serving the Lord and loving Him. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Suffer as a Christian. We're in a world of suffering. Could I tell you a secret? I hadn't even gotten to my message yet. We're in a world full of pain. We will not escape it until the Lord comes or until we get called home. And while we're here in this world of pain and heartache and wrong and sin and filth, we got to learn how to live right and act right and do right and be the right Christians in front of the world that we should be. I said it already. Jesus said, love thy neighbor. It's not talking about just the Christians in the church. That's the people out there. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. I'll close with this thought. Lord, speaking through Paul, said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, some may say, light, I'm not too sure. Compared to what it could be, compared to what he faced, our affliction's light. And in our country, we're spoiled. Doesn't take much for us to think we just are so overloaded, so overwhelmed. But he said a light affliction, which is but for a moment. One day soon, it'll be over. You know what? I'm 67 years old. It only took 5 years to get 67. I don't see how in the world did I get 67? I blinked twice, and here I am. That means from here to the end is a whole lot shorter. So I'm saying this. I'm saying what he said. This problemed, troubled, heartbreaking world is temporary. It's temporary. I know it hurts now. I know it's hard now. I live in the same world you live in. But we need to beg God to give us grace that our testimony might be right and pure and pleasing to Him and an amazement to the world to where they see somebody different. Please, Christian, leave the church today. And when you're out there, live for God. Please Him. Let's stand together.